practicing this for 2 days. Welcome to Guys Plus, a podcast about guys, a podcast about guys. I am Brian, and Chris is here. What's up, Chris?
Not too much. I'm here on all of them, so it's not super exciting. But
you're here.
I wasn't getting mad at you. I don't, Brian, come on.
It's also very exciting when you're here. Don't sell yourself short. We love
it. I think it's exciting when I'm here and when you're here.
Oh,
you know,
well,
I think
nice.
It's exciting. People are like, oh, good, Brian's here. I mean, imagine you weren't here. That would be a huge letdown for the listeners, I feel.
Well, if you got a good guest, you know, it would be.
I guess, but I don't even know that I could do the pod. Like, you know, I think it's clear because you have done it without me, but I just don't think I could do it without you because you do all the stuff for it.
Well, so, you said yesterday, you're going to be in a real. I mean, we were talking about it at the end of the episode that comes out in like 3 weeks that I was talking about how we're going to do on episode 52, we're going to do some Brian stuff.
Yeah, there's going to be a couple of very special episodes where I'm going to gather the footage, but like I'm going to gather that footage like basically just to fuck with you specifically. So again, uh-huh. That would not work if you weren't there.
Yeah, the Lego guy stuff, like I have been saying for a long, since the very beginning, I was like, at the first I was like, not a chance, I'm not going to do it, mm-hmm. But I was just goofing around, and I kind of figured for an episode that was like sort of special or something, you'd just do Lego guys, and, you know, I make fun of me, I guess, but...
Yeah, it'll be a unique and different episode where I will make fun of you.
Well, I got to travel today, Chris.
I know. I know. I
airplane for 14 hours.
Okay. What? Where? Hang on a second. I think you might be getting a trick played on you. It doesn't take that long to get where you're going.
There's only a 1 hour layover. I'm serious. Like I get on the plane. I do a 6 hour flight to, maybe it's 12 hours. It's a 6 hour flight to Seattle and then a 5 hour flight to Fairbanks from Seattle. So
I'm going to be on. Yeah. I guess that's true. So I guess where is Ohio?
Like on the whole other side of the country.
So it's on the Eastern.
Like Cleveland is kind of considered like a northeastern city.
Okay, so that makes sense. So it would take you a long time to get here to Vancouver. Same amount of time,
six hours.
Seattle, yeah, 6 hours.
Yeah, it's a 6 hour flight onto the other side of the country. But I just don't like flying. I mean, I'm not scared, which sounds like a 12-year-old kid thing to say. Like,
it sounds like you are scared a bit. It's okay. Scared. Well, it's okay to be. It's scary. People get in. I don't want to say this, but people do. Some of the planes do crash.
That's true, but I hate going through TSA.
I see. Why is that? You don't like being touched and stuff?
I don't get touched. I have a TSA pre-check, so I can just walk right through. I just don't like feeling.
So it's an entirely easy and painless situation for you. And so why do you hate it?
I don't like people having authority over me.
I understand that.
It drives me fucking crazy. And these guys have authority over me. They can push me around and yell at me and stuff like that. And I hate it. So once I get through there, I'm fine and everything's okay. But it's just getting through is just such a pain in the ass.
I do feel, and I could be completely wrong here. I don't travel to the United States or within the United States as often as you do. But certainly in the last few times I have, I've noticed that the agents didn't seem as rude.
They like weren't as mad.
Maybe like the whole thing where the entire society started mocking how rude they were.
Yeah.
And it became like a huge punchline for everybody for like 5 months. Maybe they decided to like make some internal changes. Who knows?
I would have done that because they are mean. I mean, there's not a lot of meaner guys out there. I mean, the police are mean.
Yeah,
PSA are mean.
They're all police. Like they're all, you know.
Yeah, the Department of Motor Vehicles is mean.
I guess it's the type of person. Listen, we don't need to get into that, but the type of person who would want to have that job.
The bank can be mean, but sometimes they're nice. You know,
it's funny. It's funny to think of all these scenarios. Really, it's just like somebody got Brian in trouble. That's when he thinks they're mean. Like, the bank can be mean. That's when they deny his loan application, but they can be nice. And that's when they accept his loan application.
Well, I did this thing with the bank when, for years. I would overdraw the bank account, and then I would call them on the phone and start yelling at them. Okay. And then they would give me all the overdraft fees back. But then fucking probably 10 years ago would have been now, I tried to pull that off and they're like, we're going to give you the overdraft fees back, but this is the last time and we're putting a note on your account. So now it's like I wasted like a get almost wasted a get out of jail free card in a way, you know.
I don't know if you wasted it. Seems like you used it so many times that they stopped allowing you to use it. Did you consider moving banks?
No, I like my bank. I think I mean, nobody likes their bank, but I mean, mine's fine. It's a credit union, which is the woke bank. So
yeah, totally. Yeah.
So we have been gone from Guys Plus for a month, and that means we haven't known a certain thing that we have to get out there, and that is
Pastafarian holidays.
Pastafarian holidays.
There's probably so many people who have been like pretty much walking around aimlessly, not even knowing what they're meant to be. I mean, I guess they could find it on their own, but I think it's very difficult. Like, Brian has to do a lot of digging to find this information.
It is a website. I mean, I'll say this. The website is really bad. Like, the font is light gray on white. So it's very hard to
read. So that's probably by design, because it's not meant for just any, you know, fool to read. You have to sort of have special kind of Pastafarian eyes to see.
Yes. So Friday, the day you're listening to this, maybe, or you missed it, look on the bright side of life day.
Yeah, that's a positive. Hey, listen, we make a lot of fun. There's nothing wrong with that, though. It's good to, you know, see the positives in certain situations. Sometimes it's impossible, but it's good to try. It's good to
like the fact that you got to get on an airplane and fly.
I was thinking about, you know, the huge ongoing conflict in Palestine. But yeah, I guess you're having to fly, you know, with pre-clearance over to a really beautiful
in premium thing. Economy though, I got premium economy, I couldn't get first class.
Okay, what is premium economy compared to just second economy
level? Free beer, more leg room.
Okay, you don't like drink,
right? Well, my wife does, so she'll probably get fucking lit up on the airplane.
Everyone look forward to a potential viral video involving Brian. Can you imagine if it's like Brian like trying to calm down his wife and you see that video on Twitter? Like, of course that will never happen and we wouldn't actually want it to happen, but it would be very funny.
It would be funny if I ended up, you know, Saturday, tomorrow, turn it up to 11 day. So that
fuck off. Now they've lost me with their fucking corniness again.
That turn it up to 11. That's a reference to a movie, Spinal Tap.
Yeah, 1984, I believe, is that when that movie came out?
Maybe an earlier.
No, I think it's 1984 because I could be. Yeah, I think it is. I think it's the year I was born. Spinal Tap came out, but yeah, look it up, Brian. See if I'm right here. I deserve to be challenged, and if I'm wrong, I deserve to be called out and flogged.
Where the fuck is it? Oh, this is the band. I got I went to the Wikipedia and it was a fucking band.
So you forgot that they're an actual band.
I mean, barely, right? 84. You got it exactly right. Now, I didn't know there was a return of Spinal Tap movie.
Was that like Dumb and Dumber or whatever, where it's like different people in it?
Oh, it's the same people. You got your Christopher Guest, your Rob Reiner, your Michael McKean, and Harry Shearer. It's got Robin Williams, June Chadwick. I didn't know they made a sequel. Maybe I need to see the sequel.
That seems odd. Yeah, maybe I heard about that, but certainly as I'm thinking about it right now, I don't remember ever knowing about it.
1992 rockumentary / musical. And that's the thing, when I've made John Cullen do this, and now he does it instinctively. He calls documentaries about music rockumentaries.
Oh, hang on a second, though. So I don't believe this is a movie.
Oh, it's not a movie?
It's a concert. So it's a concert. It's a concert.
It's got some rockumentary. It seems like they have rockumentary stuff in it, though.
Okay.
You get to go behind the scenes and find out where the somewhat less than Fab Three are now, where it all began, and also catch up with director Marty DeBerge. So maybe I'll check that out sometime. Sunday, November 12th, Drunk Creation Contemplation Day. So that's a little...
What is that? What does that one mean?
I mean, that's a little like, hey, we're going to go after the creationists. You know what I mean? Get drunk and then do creationist stuff.
Oh, I see. So
like look at it and be like, oh, I contemplated that. It's stupid, you know?
Okay, that sounds like it could be fun, I guess, if you're like with the right people, you know, and you're having some, you know, you're imbibing on some. Well, hey, picture this, Brian. You're doing this, you're sort of getting a little bit drunk, but you're doing it on Pappy Van Winkle, and you're doing it with some of the absolute sweetest rockabilly guys that you've ever set hung out with in your life. Now all of a sudden, is it such a bad time?
Yeah. It doesn't sound like a good time to me to contemplate creationism with a bunch of atheists or Pastafarians. Really? That seems bad, you know? 13th, Monday, Talk to Birds Day.
I see. So 14th. I just kind of... Okay. Yeah, yeah. No, just go on to the next one.
Laugh Like a Lunatic Day.
Yeah. So, like... Okay. So 15th. Just like find something that's really funny that makes you laugh like a lunatic, or just kind of do it. Like when
you just got to do it, man.
So you fake it. You do a fake laugh.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. 15th is Awkwardly Honest Day. That's just say something mean to somebody, really. Thursday is Dodo Grieving Day.
Oh, that's actually because one of the people I call this snake guy, they call me Dodo Cop. So that one kind of hits close to home.
Oh, I'm grieving you.
Do you know what I mean? Like the death of Dodo Cop. But of course, they mean the dodo, which famously is extinct, right?
Yeah. And then our final one for the 17th, Al Dente Day.
Reference to pasta.
Yeah. Well, next, I will say Sunday the 19th is World Toilet Day, which is one that I think.
Wait a second. Is that for the Pastafarians or is that real?
That's for the Pastafarians. World Toilet Day. There's some really bad ones coming up. And we are doing Gut Shot next. So I can say Monday the 20th is Say No to Cannibalism Day. So, yeah, we'll go.
I mean, I guess it's hard when you got to think of one for every day. You know what I mean? They kind of run out of good and funny ones, maybe, because you got to come up with 300.
Ran out of good. There were so many good and funny ones, but they completely ran out.
They ran out. So if you probably look January, it's probably when all the good ones are, you know, because they probably started at the beginning.
Yeah. Well, we got something special for everybody on this Guys Plus. Something people have been waiting for. Something Chris hates, and here we go. Oh,
fuck off. We don't have to start with it.
We started with Pastafarian holidays and
no, but that's just a segment. This is like the first clip we gotta watch is this fucking guy, man. I hate him when he talks. I hate when we see him. I hate the fucking slow zoom.
Well, it's Michael Nolan came out with a video about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Of course. That's the only fucking thing. What do you mean he came out with a video about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? That's the only thing he talks about.
I know. Well, he talks about the Beatles too every day. All right, here we go.
Hey, everybody. Welcome.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, you could camp out under his hair, the little area. Like, you guys got to see it.
I'll cut it. I'll snip it.
It is wild, man. It's, like, slicked back, but it's, like, big high in the front. So there's, like, these huge cavernous caves around his temples that you look like you could get actual, like, you could get it out of the rain if his you went under there.
I mean,
oh, I haven't even looked at his shirt. Yeah.
Wild shirt he's wearing.
Yeah, probably someone could find it on like online just... for like $11 or whatever. Right? Remember, all his shirts are really cheap, right?
Yeah, they're on I forget what the site, Wish maybe it was.
Alibaba or something.
Yeah, they always find them. No new decorations in the old
Yeah, it looks the same. Looks the same.
Studio. I'm trying to see. Yep. Nope. He's got some DVDs back there. Who knows what that's for?
Bottom line. I'm Michael Nolan. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the Rock and Roll
Hall of Fame. Something interesting is happening now. The Zoom is not going towards him. The Zoom is zooming. Like, I do this as a joke sometimes on my video. When you zoom into, like, the corner, you know, away from the person that's talking. But that's seemingly what he's doing now.
It's zooming to his amp, like the Fender amp next to the
bottom. Yeah, to the bottom right hand corner of the video. Let's see if it corrects itself.
I want you to also pay attention to the music, everybody, because it's a good one this time.
Discuss just what this hit show has been up to. Oh, and by the way, when I say hit show, just add the letter S before the word hit, I think you'll know where I'm coming from.
Okay. So the Rock and Roll, he's not really happy with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Right,
believe now. It or not, it's something different now, is that he's actually he has a grievance, which is usually he's very supportive. Now, it turns out the Zoom was zooming towards a subscription tag.
Oh,
that's why he was zooming to that corner. So, hey, Michael, you remain undefeated. You have made zero mistakes in the editing of your videos. I will catch you, though, one of these days.
He's good. I always have to see the opening.
Oh, yeah. The intro is one of the best intros in the history of YouTube.
All right. So most of my longtime viewers know that I'm not a fan of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I think the short time, like anyone who has watched a single video of yours knows that, Michael. I don't think you have to be a longtime fan to know that.
Yeah, you could have just turned it on.
Or you could just look at those. You could just have scrolled like the thumbnails on his, like that would be enough to tell you.
Yeah.
The organization or the show itself, and I've done a lot of videos on them, haven't I? I did videos on these nominees that were highlighted the other night, as well as videos criticizing Jan Wenner. All right,
okay.
Now Jan Wenner is no longer with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You see, he opened his mouth, and the Rock and Roll Fame dumped his ass.
The Rock and Roll Fame. This guy is fucking cutting it. He doesn't even have time to say a hall. Is he shortening it to the rock?
The Rock and Roll Fame is not happy with.
He's doing quick cuts, by the way, today, which I hate when he does those, you know, like the quick, like where it's a quick zoom. So it's like, you know what I mean? It's like 1 second it's like far out and then quickly zooms in on him. Like
this guy loves zooming for sure. Like, nobody loves,
but I like his slow zoom more. It's annoying when you realize it's happening. It kind of annoys you because it's like never gets to where it's going. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like going so slowly that it never gets where you want it to go. But it's better than this type of bullshit. This is like old, like real, the way YouTubers do their weird cuts, their cut zooms or whatever.
Yeah.
As fast as they could. You see, he showed his true nature, didn't he? He had disparaging remarks regarding women in rock as well as black artists in rock, and they couldn't wait to get rid of him.
That was a horrible cut, but also, yeah, he probably said some stuff there that he decided didn't play very well. Michael, with all, you might not be as direct with it, but I mean, Michael, you have a similar feeling, I feel.
Yeah.
A lot of the artists you have an issue with being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame are women and or black people.
Yeah.
After that. Now, that's interesting because we're going to discuss how the show proceeded without his influence. Now, he hasn't been an official member with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for a bit of time. He gave that job to John Sykes, right? But as soon as he made his statements, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Who is John Sykes?
John Sykes is, he hates John Sykes too. He brings that up quite a bit.
No, he's the guy who's in charge of the show.
Yeah, but probably not, you know. I don't think Michael actually knows how.
And the show is like the awards ceremony?
Yes, yes. It's just the ceremony.
But do they film it?
Yeah, yeah. You can watch it. It's usually pretty bad.
I would imagine. Award shows always are.
Fast enough from him. But the question is does that make them a hero? Well, let's take a look at how the show went the other evening.
Oh, cool.
First of all, there were heroes and zeros that were inducted. The show started off with Sheryl Crow in the spotlight, or I should say sharing the spotlight with Olivia Rodrigo. That's right, from High School Musical.
Oh, he's mad as hell now. He's not going to
put the look on his face. He just has this like devilish little smirk like, yeah, you heard that right. Yeah. Like, you know, Mr. Nolan about to go off, you know.
Yeah.
Like
he's a freaking Disney.
Are you kidding me? Rock and roll? I think not. Well, how does he feel about Sheryl Crow though? Cuz Sheryl Crow had some, you know, she had some rock songs.
Oh, I think he likes her, but I think he's not going to be happy because of Olivia Rodrigo.
Oh yeah, yeah. Are you kidding me? This segment, there's no way he's going to be in favor of, but he might be really positive to Sheryl Crow. You know what I mean? Like highlighting her as a real artist versus Olivia Rodrigo. Let's see.
She's a Disney princess. And guess what?
Disney princess is a different thing.
That's an entirely different thing.
Yeah, I don't think you understand the brand, Michael.
Sheryl Crow into the Hall of Fame. They brought out another Disney princess, Laura Dern. I thought that woman was still running from T-Rexes. Of course, it wouldn't
wait,
be
wait,
anywhere.
Wait. Laura Dern is an accomplished actor.
No. She's not. She's a Disney princess.
No. Well, he's saying he thought she was still running from.
That's
dinosaurs. That's from the 90s. He's talking about the amount of like films she's done, like major movies, maybe even been nominated for awards. Like she is an accomplished and respected actor who is like beloved. She's absolutely beloved. Can you what? He's mad.
I'm looking at his movies, her movies. She never even did a Disney thing.
Oh, no. I don't think that's
The Last Jedi.
Yeah, I don't think that he's even talking about that now. I think he's just saying she came out, right? Can you back it up a bit? Sorry. Back it up.
The induction, right? All right, here we go.
Another Disney princess, Laura Dern. I thought that woman was still running from T-Rexes.
Wait a second. Hang on, though. What? Wait a second. If you're calling her a Disney princess and you're referring to The Last Jedi,
it would have. That's the only Disney thing I see.
So that means that you know what she's done since then. What do you mean you think she's still being chased by her? So you know that. It's you're being really dishonest.
So much good stuff. She did Enlightened, I believe, HBO.
She's a really, really wonderful actor and really well respected and beloved. Like this is just so off base.
Yeah, not in the rock and roll world though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but like what? She's just a beloved actor. It's fair to have her just presenting. She's not being nominated or inducted into the Hall of Fame.
You're not supposed to have people on stage that are actors, you know, or anything other than Jimmy Page, really, to tell you the truth. Let's see.
Near woke enough unless Stevie Nicks opened her mouth. So right away, the show presented us with just a ton of women in rock, or at least women who claim to be rock and roll. But as if to punch Yon Winner right in the eye, the next person up is a black artist, black rock and roller, not even close. LL Cool J, known.
So this is a really bizarre segment he's doing.
He's going off.
Because he's basically like, he's saying like, oh, I hate Yon Winner. You know, so it's good that they're like sticking it to him. But then Michael himself is also like throwing in all of his preconceived stuff and all of the like, oh, was it a rock and roll? No, not even. It was LL Cool J, like Olivia. You know, he's like, yeah. he's sort of showing how he himself is incredibly ignorant about this type of stuff and very close-minded, but at the same time looking down at Jan Wenner and being excited about how they stuck it to him for showing that exact same antiquated view on, you know, being creative. It's really fascinating to watch. This guy is a really, really awful guy, this Michael Nolan guy.
Weird dude, awful guy. Doesn't necessarily, is dishonest as hell.
Yes, with to himself. He's dishonest with himself.
I think that, like, I think for him it's like, well, I kind of agree with Jan Wenner, but I have been bad-mouthing Jan Wenner for years on YouTube. So I can't necessarily be like, oh, I kind of agree with Jan Wenner, but I do. Because, I mean, he's always been mad about, like, diversity and stuff.
Totally.
Like, no, that's what he's yelled about the whole time we've been looking at him.
I think this is pretty fascinating because it does show that his hatred for Jan Wenner fucking is stronger than his hatred for minorities and women, which is we weren't able to quantify it before. It was you weren't able to see it. Now we can kind of see that.
We got a list here of hate
right in the eye. The next person up is a black artist, a black rock and roller, not even close.
Nope.
LL Cool J, known for his heavy metal elements in his music, inducted DJ Cool Herc. Now, Hercules was so emotionally moved, you could have swore it was his first ambition in life to make this rock and roll hall of fame. Next up on the show.
I mean, it is a, listen, I think it's stupid. But I think if somebody was like, hey, Brian, do you want to be inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? I'd be like, yeah, that's really cool.
I
don't know what he wanted DJ Cool Herc to do.
Yeah, why? Yeah, his he was upset with his reaction.
Yeah.
Apparently he wanted to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame forever. And that's like silly to him. Who knows? Yeah. Who knows what? And I don't know. I don't know. I don't know his music, so I don't even know how much influence it has from rock music, or maybe if he wanted to be a rock music, you know, it could be completely true that's what he wanted to do since he was a kid.
Instruments are expensive, and I think like a lot of the hip-hop stuff, I've always, you know, heard that it's cheaper to do than buy drums, guitar, bass, microphones, all that stuff. It was easier to DJ. So
totally makes sense.
Jasmine Sullivan. Now she's identified as an R&B and soul singer.
Okay.
Again, not anything close to rock and roll. Yeah, no. But when you listen to her music, all I hear is hip hop everywhere. Yeah. So what was the tally so far in the show? One rocker, two Disney princesses, and two from the hip hop and rap elements of music.
The Laura Dern thing is fucking mind-blowing to me. Like I cannot believe he's still going with Disney princess for Laura fucking Dern.
Yeah, who thinks of her as a Disney princess?
But wham, George Michaels,
George Michaels.
Dude. Of course it's George Michael.
Yeah, but he always says George Michaels. He'll say it 50 times here.
Could be summarized as a pop singer. He wasn't rock and roll. He did a couple of cuts that were a bit rockish, but him as a solo artist and Wham were both pop acts. Of course, that was followed by...
But what the fuck did he just turn in his chair? He just came flying around in his chair.
Yeah, that was... This is odd. And when he did it, you don't see him move that often. I will say, when he did it, he looked very elderly.
He does. He looks more elderly on this one, for sure.
Yeah.
An act that I actually like, but I would consider them more rhythm and blues or a pop act. And, of course, I'm talking about the Spinners. We are two-thirds wrong through this four-hour debacle, and we have had one rocker all evening, except for when, of course, Peter Frampton got on the stage and played. And I love the way he put in some of his riffs from his songs mixed in with the piece they were
doing. Ooh, he hates Stevie Nicks, too.
But, I mean, this is just like of course, yeah, you got half hard when Frampton came out with his talking guitar and it reminded you of the time when your dick worked fully. Like, come on, man. Yeah, no shit. Like, he's like, it's just this old man. He's just this old man who's so just mad. Like rock nowadays. Like, he just only likes the old classic shit.
I mean, he is a very much like genre. Like so many people these days don't really care about the genre of the music.
Most everyone doesn't. Like, normal people who aren't old. Like, I don't want to be ageist, but it's mostly old people who care about
it. People like even my age are like, none of them are like, I listen to only metal. Like, a lot of people are like, I just listen to music. The things have changed so much.
And also, there's so much overlap, and there's so much now, like, so many artists that are just can't really be called a particular type of music because they're pulling from so many different genres of music because there's just so much fucking music being made now, too, you know?
Doing. Of course, that was followed by Kate Bush. A lot of people have been saying online, is Kate Bush rock and roll? Well, first of all, I would consider her almost an avant-garde artist, but there are tons of elements of rock and roll in her music. Many of her band were from the Alan Parsons Project.
Oh, that's
good. And you guys know I love
that.
The Alan Parsons
Project. Of course you do.
So kudos to her and Al Cooper. Al Cooper's a major player in rock. Now, one of the highlights of the show was when Willie Nelson performed. And of course Willie Nelson was inducted. Now, I am a Willie Nelson fan.
Oh, he's already, I know this. I know this. We've discussed this because when they said he was being inducted, he got mad about it because he's not rock and roll, right?
Yeah, he's about to say he's not a rocker.
A songwriter, you'd better be a Willie Nelson fan or at least be very aware of his material, because he is a master songwriter, but he doesn't belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, folks.
Too bad, Willie.
He's country, but I'll tell you what.
Okay.
Willie Nelson has more rock and roll in his little pinky than Don Cornelius has in his entire body. And of course, it was about time.
Who's Don Cornelius? Who's Don Cornelius?
He was the host of Soul Train.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Wait.
I don't rock. No rock in there.
But why is he catching a stray here? What did he do?
Let's find out.
Time that we inducted Bernie Taupin into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, he's basically half of what Elton John had to offer us. Okay. But the highlight for me all evening was the appearance of Jimmy Page. Yeah. Of course, he played Rumble by Link Wray, a cut that has often been credited as the beginning of heavy rock and roll.
Oh.
And he played it almost perfectly. He made a little mistake there, but it was Jimmy Lyon.
Can you imagine? I've heard your music, you little fucking rat. You little fucking vermin. I've heard the shit you churn out. Listen, I'm not a monster Led Zeppelin fan or anything, but Jimmy Page is one of the great rock guitarists. He's a legend. He's incredibly influential. Obviously, he's also, you know, I don't want to get into it, Led Zeppelin. Led Zeppelin took a lot of, you know, their music from people and stuff, but you can't really just shut the fuck up. He almost played it perfectly. He doesn't care.
Made a mistake, you know?
He doesn't care what you
gotta think. Let it be out there.
Michael Nolan. But it is really funny that Nolan's just like, yeah, I loved when Peter Frampton went up there and fucking Jimmy Page. Like, yeah, you don't
everybody
say.
Has to be 80 for him to like get excited.
Yeah, it has to be someone who was playing music when he was young. That's all.
Because we're getting up on Rage Against the Machine here in a minute. And that's, I think, the main event here.
Fuck me.
Flabbergasted to see him there. Now, in a recent video, I discussed Robert Plant singing Stairway to Heaven live. Within days of that occurring, Jimmy Page shows up here. And in that video, I discussed the possibility of one more Led Zeppelin concert, at least. If not tour. And many of you responded by saying, give it up, Michael. That's never going to happen. With some of you even
they're very old.
Jimmy doesn't play live anymore. He talks a good game about upcoming projects, but he never, ever produces. Okay. But for him to show up on this show right after Robert Plant sang Stairway to Heaven after he swore he'd never sing it again, is it possible there could be some workings going on in the background?
Yeah, some working.
Michael.
Okay, I know.
Michael. He is literally an 80-year-old man. The people who are telling you to give it up are saying that for your benefit and the benefit of your mental health and your family and the people around you. You have become obsessed and you have the most one-track mind I've ever seen.
I mean, he wants that to happen. All right, we're almost done here.
I know. You're all going to be saying, give it up, Michael.
Yeah, we are.
Like I said in that video, hope springs eternal. I want one more unleaded Led Zeppelin concert out of these guys.
Imagine all right, being folks, that I'm getting psychotic that you want these 80-year-old men. Like, you need that. That's going to make you happy. Just go watch one of their old fucking concerts.
Watch this all remains the same. There's a whole...
They're 80 fucking years old. They're elderly men. Just let them relax. Just let them hang out and on the English countryside, you know?
Is he not going to talk about Tom Morello?
I'm ready to get over to Royce's house this evening. He, by the way, streams at 6:30.
Oh, okay.
Pacific Standard Time. That's here in California.
I'll be discussing the Beatles.
If you enjoyed tonight's video, please give it a thumbs up. That helps with channel growth. And if you haven't subscribed, that's easy. All you have to do is hit that subscribe to the tribe button.
All right, we're not subscribed to the tribe.
So he didn't talk about Rage Against the Machine at all. Maybe that's the ultimate. Like, he's like, fuck, I'm not even going to mention it.
He mentioned them in the other thing and said he doesn't like the way Zach sings.
They're big time woke.
Let's take a look at some nudists. We need to get some of the new guy types that came during Shocktober, right?
Yeah, most definitely. These are nudies. These are dick hangers.
Here's our question. If public nudity was legalized all over, where would you go nude? Would you go everywhere? Would you only go certain places? We can also bring in the question of private property, where people could still make their own rules. For me, I would go nude everywhere. Although if private property had rules requiring clothes, I would respect that.
So you don't say the guy who's posing the question and thinking about this hypothetical is someone who wants to be naked everywhere. Yeah, oh, yeah. I couldn't have guessed that. I mean, I don't think I would. I think they're pretty cool with the beaches. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Maybe a park, like I said, if you're landlocked, you know what I mean? Just a nude park, like somewhere that's outdoorsy, that's just kind of where it's going to be other people who are nude. I think that's cool. That's the only place that it's really that important. I don't think you need to be nude elsewhere. You know, because think about sitting on things, right, and stuff like that. Sharing public spaces. That's not cool with nude people.
Well, we learned that they carry towels around.
So now everyone got to have a towel.
Well, everybody that's naked has to have a towel. I don't need a towel. I'm never going to be naked ever.
I see. So you're saying it's okay? So yeah, I get you. Only if you're naked, you have to have a towel so you can lay it down and sit on it or whatever. For you just would have your pants on and you wouldn't mind. What would you mind, Brian? Because what if you go and you sit down at McDonald's, or where do you like to go for a fast food meal?
Shake Shack. Wherever I went to Shake Shack.
So say you're going to, you go to Shake Shack and you sit down with your jeans or whatever, and some guy's sat nude before and he's pasted his, you know,
that's
butthole
funny.
Right on there with some poo.
Oh, well, no poo.
And there's a little
make sure there's no poop.
But maybe you can't see it, but it's kind of there, the particles, you know? Yeah. And now they're on your jeans. Oh,
if you can't see it, I'm fine with it.
Okay, and then they're on your jeans, and maybe you pick your ass, you know, to get the underwear out, and now all of a sudden they're on your fingers.
Oh, I can't see something, that's what I always say about if a fast food person spits in my food. It's just like, fuck it, I don't know. I mean, if I don't know, it doesn't bother me. What I don't know cannot hurt me.
I kind of agree with you.
I'm the Flash 01 replies and says, I would only go places where I would already go shirtless. Context is everything. I wouldn't go into stores or most places of business. I wouldn't go to a restaurant. Going to a park, I would. Trails, lake, beach, rec center, gym, those places I would. I don't want people naked at
the gym. Not gym. I'm with them right up until gym, but that's too far.
Yeah, you guys lifting weights. Like somebody's doing like something where their whole entire butthole is presented to you while they're
totally. They're lifting down, like squat or something. But that is good rationale. I think that person is thinking it out pretty well. That is like, think about where you would find it appropriate to go shirtless. That, and then, you know, that would be, otherwise don't, you know, that's probably a good way to think about it.
Well, DL Style says, I wonder if the law is caught up to current people's opinions, especially in different areas. I moved back to my hometown in the Midwest and found out public nudity is legal in the state with a few exceptions. Found out lots of people here don't mind from reading articles. Also, we stick to somewhat secluded areas mostly, and nobody has complained. And then I'm the Flash replied and said, what state is that?
Yeah, listen, I think we're fine. I don't think people are looking to be more nude. As a society, I don't think people are looking for more nudity in general. I don't think that's like a popular opinion.
East Coast Hank says, anywhere I theoretically don't have to bring a lot of things, but let's be real, most of them would still be carrying around backpacks, but definitely water parks in the movies. Water parks too,
but not the movies, man. Don't sit your asshole down on a seat. Don't do that.
I don't like
anywhere where you're sitting down on a fucking cloth seat. Don't go there nude. How is water park in the movies like in the same sort of threat?
Well, they have this thing about bathing. Like if you wear a bathing suit, you should be able to go. Well,
I don't agree with it. Yeah, but I see the rationale behind it. But the movies, you don't wear a bathing suit unless maybe the Baywatch premiere. You know what I mean? If people are, you know, sometimes people dress up for movies or whatever.
Sure. Dimer Rob replies, if I could, I'd never put clothes on again.
Wow.
That is a strong fucking statement from Dimer Rob. Dimer Rob doing it right. Scarecrow 613 replies to Dimer Rob and says, yes, I'm with you there. I'm actually surprised by some of these answers where they would only do it if society says it's okay.
I'm just trying to be respectful. I'm confused by all these people who are like respectful of other people and like,
yeah, what are we doing here?
What are we doing here? We're actually like caring about other people. And you can get into the debate about whether or not people should feel uncomfortable with nudity. And maybe if it was, you know, presented for long enough, people would stop feeling uncomfortable. But I think as it stands, people do. And they can't help it, you know.
I don't think you should go to the movies naked.
No.
I don't even know why I don't think you should. I just don't think you should.
You definitely shouldn't. I go to the movies quite often.
Though I think that's another thing you can think of, like, well, it is
dark. But if it's dark, so then what's the point? Like, so why are you just want to feel the feeling of being nude or whatever?
I just think that, like, if you're in a dark room and like these guys probably watch movies naked all the time, you know, and that's probably like their naked watching the movies is probably one of their best naked times.
Yeah, you're probably right.
So let's see what else comes up here. Nutty Northern Nudist says, I live in England where public nudity is legal. The problem is being legal doesn't necessarily make it socially acceptable. Also, most of the public don't realize that the law changed and they think it's still illegal. So can be critical or abusive or even call the police. Being legal in public also doesn't mean private enterprises like shops have to accept it. All those caveats aside, however, I do take advantage of the legal position to hike naked and cycle naked. Cycling is so weird.
I like this guy. This person is being hassled, but they continue to go nude.
On a bike. Like, I don't, there's too much machinery on a bike. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you could have something could go up your anus, you think, or something. You crash or whatever.
Or you fucking get like your I don't know. I just feel like it wouldn't be.
Right, were you gonna say you're worried about getting your like dick caught in something
in the chain?
Come on, man. I don't want to talk. I think you'd be okay. And I'm not even saying that in a disrespectful way. I think you have to have a pretty long dick.
Oh, I do. Maybe, I'm like a Tom dick.
No, I think only a guy like Tom would have to worry if he was on the bike.
I started to think dick, and then I started to think like maybe you get like your toe caught in a pedal or some weird
that
shit.
So now people do ride their bike barefoot. Definitely.
I think that's silly. I did see a couple people doing that a couple weeks ago, and I was like, I don't think they should do that. David Four Nudist. He replies, I would go everywhere except for where there was dangerous machinery or anything that could potentially harm the unclothed body. Of course, it would also be weather permitting. I wouldn't go nude if it was too cold or if it was a hazardous weather. Yeah, you don't want to go into like a hurricane naked, I guess.
Yeah, you want to put on a coat.
But anything else would be fair game if it was legalized. And I wish it was legalized to be nude everywhere. It's crazy to think that our natural human bodies are so offensive that it has to be illegal in public, outside of naturist beaches, resorts, and the like. What's the matter with people? Now, here we go.
Well, I think like the asshole can be smelly and weird, and then your dick and balls is hanging about, flopping all over the place, and kind of looks a little bit fucked up as well. And then you have the issue, of course, with, people getting aroused as well.
Yeah, getting bonus. I don't know. And then with the episode, we did kind of touch on the fact that like it's really frowned upon,
yeah,
to get a boner, but
it happens. Again,
you can't. Well, how the fuck are you supposed to stop a boner?
I think that possibly there is a possibility that, like, you know, at some point the reason to put clothes on was based in some like type of shame or something that, like, maybe if we had never done that, I don't know the history of clothes well enough, but maybe it would be okay and we wouldn't feel that way and we'd be okay with the human body and stuff. But I just think you can't undo what we've lived and experienced, where it's like, I'm used to seeing people in clothes and I'm not used to seeing them nude, and it feels too intimate to see somebody nude. I don't know, maybe not intimate, but it makes me feel uncomfortable in a non-sexual setting to see, there is certain situations though where it doesn't. I'm thinking about it, like streaking. I can see some humor in it, and I definitely like, I could definitely handle it. I could definitely handle it if everyone was nude. I would still go out and stuff.
I wouldn't like it. I'm gonna tell you right now.
I don't know. I don't think I would like it either. But I'm trying to picture it in my head now.
But this guy goes, this guy says, roughly 100 years ago or so, women were forbidden from showing their ankles in public, lest they faced criminal charges and imprisonment. Back then, women's ankles were as taboo as nudity is today. Did that stop them from exposing their ankles?
Yeah.
Perhaps at first it did, but at some point they took a stand and fought for their rights to show their ankles in public, and they won. I hope you see where I'm going with this.
I do, sir. I do see where you're going with it, and that's an interesting point, you think, but I don't know. The ankles, ankles is different than like the gooch, you know?
This is the most guy answer.
Yeah.
Like, this is such a naked guy answer. Totally. It's like, it seems like his one political, like, this is his cause. Yeah. You know what I mean? This is like
he wants to get his dick out.
Yeah.
He's going to fight in, you know, at every level of politics so he can expose his dick and everyone can look at it.
Like, I would bet that this guy doesn't even vote at all. You know what I mean? Because like, he's like, these people, you know, they don't have our best interests at heart. I'll never vote. But
he might have voted one time.
Yeah.
You remember that guy? That one candidate.
I mean, I just could see that this is his cause. When people start talking about politics, this is what he says, man.
And he brings up this argument too. Because it is like a pretty sound argument. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, as far as like, yes, you're right. You would have to like take a stand, and they did have to in some way, I'm sure. But yeah, you can just see someone talking about like some geopolitics or whatever, and then he's just like, isn't it interesting how 100 years ago and they're like, oh no.
Yeah I mean, I like, that is a perfect like type of guy thing, because I mean, being a naked guy is obsession with nudity, not just people that go to, not like Chris who goes to the nude beach for fun, you know.
And by the way, let's not, you're framing it up. When I was like, I went a couple of times.
He goes all the time. And I mean,
there's a well-known one in Vancouver called Wreck Beach, and it's, people used to always go there. It's very normal.
He wants to go there, and he goes there every once in a while, gets his dick out. Sometimes he pulls his pants down at the movie theater.
Well, it's interesting. Yeah, actually, that is true. I do go to the nude beach, and I do, and I go and I drop trow, and I've been there before. And Brian, you haven't, right?
No.
And of course, Brian hasn't. And the reason he says it like that is because he knows there's no way he would be able to attend, because he would immediately get hard and he would be asked to leave. So that's why I have confidence in my inability or my ability to not get hard, because I'm so much less horny than Brian that I can just go out there and drop trow and it's no issue.
Well, by the end of by today, if people are listening to this podcast the day it came out, I will have went to a hot spring. Now, that's not naked, but it's as naked as you can possibly get me, where I will wear swimming trunks and no shirt, although I wish I could wear a shirt. I'm going to like probably ask if I can wear a shirt.
No, don't wear it. Honestly, man, it's, I understand that. I don't think I have like the hottest bod in the world, but I don't know, man. I think honestly, everyone's kind of got a fuck. No one really cares. You know what I mean? And most of us ain't looking that good under the shirt. And you just get it out there. Get it out there and just enjoy it and have fun. If somebody wants to fucking look and stare or whatever, fuck them.
Goof on me. So I got one last thing we can do here. We can check in with. We've never done this on Guys Plus.
You know, Brian, 50 years ago, men weren't allowed to take their t-shirts off when they went to the hot springs, and they had to fight for that.
They had to fight for taking the old t-shirt off. This is off of Amazon. It's something we did on the first episode of Guys, but we haven't done it since, and that is sex board game review.
Oh, this was very popular on the first episode, and one of my favorite parts, a guy who is obsessed with winning the sex board game.
Yeah,
did not understand the spirit of it at all.
No, he wants to win the sex board game against his wife, and you know, the mechanic makes it so his wife can just win every time, and
it's kind of bullshit, and he's not understanding that you're just meant to like have sex.
Yeah. So this card game is called Why Don't We Spice Up Our Relationship with This Fun Romantic Card Game for Couples. That's the name of the game that we're looking at.
But that's like the tagline.
Nope. Why don't we spice up your relationship with this fun and romantic card game for couples? It says it on the fucking box. So
is it like meant to sort of, is it like, look at this, is like a silly kind of name, or is it like done by AI from something?
It could be an AI, but I don't think it is. So the first review is Wesley Infinger, which is a kind of funny name for a sex board game.
Infinger. It is. It's like, I can't quite figure out how it's sexual, but it does sound sexual.
Yeah. He goes, the spicier cards are too much action involved.
A question about those cards. How many Scovilles?
The spicier cards are too much action involved. No one would ever get past the first card drawn. We use the product for group seduction. Now, number one, this guy nutted right away.
Wait a second. He couldn't handle how it made him feel. Can you read that again?
The spicier cards are too much action involved. No one would ever get past the first card drawn. And then he says, we use the product for group seduction. So orgy. They're having an orgy. Wesley gets the card.
Group seduction. And he pulls it. So first card pulls out, and it's just like, you know, I guess it's a sexual thing.
Oh yeah, it would be like, you know, maybe here's this.
Yeah, is there any examples? Do we have any examples?
Yeah. Richard Pope gave it 1 star.
Huh. The Pope man.
Yeah, the Pope did. Not for couples who have been married a long time. He goes, my wife and I have been married for 32 years. So on our anniversary, we tried these cards. We followed the instructions and started with the mild cards. My wife's first card was do 20 sit-ups in a sexy manner.
Okay, so the first guy who was reviewing it was like something like do sexy sit-ups, and he's just like,
Yes, that didn't happen. When we finally got to the spicy cards, my wife's card said, do a sexy strip tease. Since we're already naked, that card was a big fail. So we just put them away and moved on with life.
We'll just pull another card.
No. Well, that's naked. It. How you do a strip tease when you're naked? I mean, just put your underwear back on or something and do the tease, I think.
Yeah, put the clothes back on and do a strip tease.
Yeah. That's what they're asking.
Pull another card.
That is a weird game mechanic, though, to get you all the way naked and then be like, put your clothes back on and do a strip tease.
Yeah, I mean, it's not ideal. Yeah.
Not perfect. No. Visit the Zealous. This is from the Zealous Nutrition store on Amazon. It goes, Zealous Nutrition stacking wooden block game for grown-ups. Couple dare questions, all genders and relationship, exciting, pleasing, and funny challenges. So it's Jenga, but with porno on the things. Like I'll show you.
Yeah, show me, please. Yeah, hey, I got to see it just because, you know, for the podcast and everything. So
this is Naughty Tower, as it's called.
Oh, it's just words.
Yeah, it says take off 2 pieces of clothing.
You told me it was porno.
Wish it would. Well, I'd take off 2 pieces of clothing.
You think porno is words?
It can be, yeah. So this is our mountain digger guy. Says, not well made. Good game to play with your partners. Problem is that it falls over a lot and gets frustrated.
Well, hang on. Hang on a second. No, is this a joke? Is this person doing a joke? That's the game, man.
That is.
That's the game, and then it falls over.
Never play Jenga, sir.
This is, you can't have that. Invalid criticism.
I do. I agree. I mean, it probably does suck to be like, you know, you're naked and you're getting really close and you're like the card. I mean, I might get one of the wood things that tells me to, like, you know, my wife to like stroke my pee-pee or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then like she goes to pull the thing out and it falls over. It's like, fuck, we got to start over again. You know?
Yeah. It's does seem like maybe just a bad game.
I think all sex games are bad. Here's the thing. Once you nut, the game's over. And then you could, if you don't do it at the same time, that means one person is really into the game and the other person is just like, yeah, whatever. You know,
That's what happened to the guy who did the first review. He busted in his pants and then everyone made fun of him. And he's like, this game is actually like so stupid. It's just like,
why are we playing this?
Playing this? Like, God.
Good game to play with your partners. Problem is that it falls over a lot and gets frustrating. There's one big problem with it. I understand the game, which you can play with your partner, but what if there's kids around? Some of the line, which is written on the blocks, are not good. I don't recommend to the house which have kids. So
that person, it sounded like maybe that person, English is second language, perhaps. Or maybe that was being written with a translator, like a Google translator or something like that. But was it also maybe a joke?
I mean, there are, when you look at sex board games now, and I don't know when this started because this wasn't going on when we did the Sex Guys episode, there's a lot of people who are like, this game says it's 14 and up and it's sex and you're selling porno, Amazon.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a big thing to say now.
Yeah.
To like anything that has like any reference to sex and is not explicitly meant for like adults is a huge problem to some people.
You know, teenagers famously don't know what sex is until
they have no idea what it is. They hate it and they don't want anything to do with it, really.
You know, where they're
happy to have it out of their life. They're like, no, I'll just wait around till I'm good and legal for this.
Yeah, yeah. So that is Guys Plus for this week. I'm having a panic attack right
now. How come?
Because I have to get on an airplane in 3 hours.
What is it that you think about that, like, when you're saying you're having a panic? Like, what is it that you're imagining that's making you nervous? Or like,
my chest has that kind of feeling in it.
But like based on what? Like, what is it? Are you
going
like,
through TSA?
Just going through TSA and having those
going
people.
Through TSA. I hate them going through my shit. I hate it all. I hate flying. I don't, yeah. Like I said, I don't mind being on the airplane. It's the part with TSA that I don't like.
But you know? Have pre-clearance, so they literally, it's like so fast for you, isn't it?
Yeah, but they can still pull your stuff aside.
Brian, can I tell you, listen, I do understand a little bit. I don't know if I've ever mentioned on the pod before, but every single time I travel to the United States, I would get pulled over into like secondary and like have to wait for 45 minutes and like get grilled because there was a guy with the same name and date of birth as me. Full name, middle and last name. My names are pretty common and same date of birth and looks fairly like me, like, you know, when you like. And so if he's not in jail, if he is, he's a criminal and wanted often. And when he's not in jail, I have to deal with that constantly. So I have that anxiety every time. But once you clear through there, that's like the beginning, right?
Once I'm through and I don't have to go back through until I'm coming home,
then you're good. Then it's a beautiful trip. So that's such a small part of it. So
no, it's not a small part of it because it's been going on since last night. I've had the anxiety since last night about it. So it's actually the biggest part of it.
But it seems like maybe you're making it the biggest part of it. But the biggest part of it might be the trip itself that you're having this nice trip with your wife.
Oh, but when you get, I don't know. I'm all nervous about Alaska too. You know,
yeah.
It's very cold there.
Bears.
We're doing a thing on Thursday night, the night before this comes out. We're doing a thing last night. Where we're going to a resort and staying for one night, and we're going to go to the top of what they call a dome. I think it's just a mountain. Go to a top of a mountain with like a couple of heated yurts and look at the
beautiful.
And from I think it was 9:30 p.m. to 2:30 in the morning, we look at the Northern Lights. And I'm nervous about that.
What are you nervous? How come you're nervous about that? It sounds like an incredible experience.
It's going to be freezing fucking cold there.
No, you have heated yurts and you have your big jacket.
I read some reviews on TripAdvisor, which I know is a mistake. And I know that we make fun of reviews all the time.
Yes, all dude, the people come that on. Reviews dude, it's like our entire show is based around talking about how wild and psychotic these people are who review things like this. You can't be then taking them at face value right afterwards to serve your anxiety.
I can't help it. It makes me so crazy. I do not have any fucking idea why it makes me nuts, but I'm just thinking about it. And I was like, it's going to be like super cold there. And then a lady gave it one star and said that for some reason a lady gave it like one star and said that the yurts aren't heated enough.
Dude, it was probably some like frail old lady who, you know what I mean? And she didn't have a big enough coat. I guarantee you, you're going to be fine. You are going to be fine. It will be a wonderful experience and you'll be experiencing like, you know, something that most people don't get to see, and you know it's something that your wife wants to do so much, so you know you're making her so happy. It's gonna be great.
Yeah,
well, I mean, you might, and you'll see some cool wildlife as well, probably.
Oh, I don't like wildlife though. You know, my kinds of trips are cities.
What the fuck?
I like going to cities and warm places. We're going to Fairbanks, which is not a massive city. Here's the thing.
Fairbanks is fine. It has all the stuff you'll need. Don't worry. It's a city.
I don't like nature very much. I'm probably not. I'll look up at the Northern Lights and be like, whoa, it's green. But then like, because we'll be up there for, you know, 4 or 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I think in 15 minutes, I'm going to be like, I'm just going to go sit in here and look at my phone.
You should take mushrooms.
I do have some, but
yeah, no, I'm not even joking. That would be what I would do, because 4 or 5 hours, you know, you're sitting out there for a long time. I think the mushrooms would be wonderful for something like that.
Yeah, I just would have to get them on a plane and all that stuff.
Oh, you could probably. Oh, could you get them in Alaska? Are they legal at all there?
No, I could get them on a plane. I have mushroom tablets.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, you put them in just with other, you know, a pill thing or whatever.
Yeah, I just, you know, I'm just very much like, I don't do nature. Like, I'll look at it, but I do find myself getting bored when it's like, you know, let's look at the sky for a very long time. You know, that's not me.
I'm not like a huge outdoors person, but I do like being out in nature. And like every morning I walk out on the river with Milo now at our new place on the boardwalk on the river. And, you know, I've even started doing it. No headphones in or anything like that. Go out in the morning and do 45 minutes or so in the morning of just relaxing and, you know, taking it all in. It's beautiful. I see the sun rising over the trees. And
you know how guys online say things to you that fuck your brain up? Somebody also told me that I have no, so I was basically like, I've been in 10 degree weather. Like, I know what it is.
What's 10 degree weather? That's not that cold.
-17 for you.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty cold. Yeah.
So I've been in that. Mm-hmm. And I know what it feels like, but people online are like, you have no idea what it feels like. And you're going to hate it. And I don't know why people do that.
They're being stupid. You do know it's, yeah, I'll tell you what, man. I've been in -50 weather. So what's that? Look up do the thing on that, whatever -50 is.
Flip it around. It's going to be -13 when we're up there. So.
And -13 is honestly, like, it's cold, but it's not that cold, man. Yeah. Like, if you have a proper jacket and you have a proper, you know, headwear and stuff like that, it's not like the type of shit where it's like, oh, I don't even want to leave the house. I was in Prince George in northern British Columbia when it was -40, and I was in Alberta, northern Alberta, when it was -50, and I was like outside in it, like the type of weather where you would spit and it really froze like immediately, and you feel your nostrils freeze, like the inside of your nostrils, all of the stuff in there starts to freeze. And that was like a little bit fucked up, but even that is, I'm a skinny guy and I fucking dealt with it,
man. I made a deal with myself. I haven't said this to my wife, that I'm not going to complain while we're gone about anything. Now we're doing a lot of stuff that I would generally complain about.
Okay.
So but I'm interesting. Not. This is her trip.
I'm curious if I could have any sort of contact information for your wife so I could get some sort of verification from her as to whether or not.
She doesn't know I'm not going to complain. She thinks I'm going
to
complain.
No, that's what I'm saying. Is like, I want to sort of just ask her afterwards if you did complain.
I'll make her talk to you about if I complained a lot while we were there, because I complain.
Yeah.
I'm a complainer. And like, it's going to be so cold. And, you know, I keep telling her, this is the only cold weather trip I'm ever taking. Like, this is it.
Well, brother, you got to come up. I mean, I guess you can come a different time of year, but, you know, you got to come up and see me up in Canada.
How cold is it there
in January?
February, yeah.
I mean, maybe -8, -9.
Oh, so it's cold there. Well, that's different. I'm seeing friends. We don't know anybody in Fairbanks either. There's no listeners there. There's none of that stuff. So
yeah, and also there's a good chance who knows if you'll actually be coming. We don't even want to say for sure that you'll be coming to Vancouver, because we are speaking on microphones still. We're just kind of, feels like the podcast ended and we're just kind of chatting, but we are still talking to an audience. So we shouldn't be.
All right.
No confirmation that Brian is coming to Vancouver.
I am going there, but not, I don't know when. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we'll see you all next week with Gutshot. We have an episode with Matt Taibbi. I think we're streaming Sunday. I don't want to say 100%. I think we're 99% streaming Sunday. I am taking my stuff. But I don't want to, you know, make a promise and then break it. And then, Matt Taibbi. Next week on Guys is Wine Guys with Riley from Trash Future. And, you know, enjoy this run of guys. Oh, should we usually do this on Guys Plus Two? Why don't we do this real quick? The next run of guys, which happens after Hip Christian Guys, which I have to say is a very fun episode. I think we found a new Nolan, a new guy.
The Hip Christian Guys, I mean, Wine Guys, you know, not to sell that short at all. Incredible. And so much, I learned so much in that episode, maybe more than I've learned in any other episode. But yeah, the Hip Christian Guys with Tom Sexton, a couple of these pastors, you guys are going to. You're gonna love them. You're really gonna love them, and when I say that, I mean you're gonna hate them.
I think, yeah, I'm 99% sure we have a couple of permanent, guys forever, like a Noland or a Tom and Bunny or something. Mm-hmm. So the December January run, see, Hip Christian Guys is November 28th. That's the episode.
Yeah,
and then we start on December 5th with MCU Guys.
Oh no, what about Jam Band Guys?
Oh, that's in there too. But I let's do the ones that are coming up. That is smarter than what I was gonna do. I was letting people run.
Because I keep thinking about the Jam Band ones, because Brian in that episode kept playing this fucking song and then he was like dancing to it.
I'm gonna rip the video for that.
It was making me so mad at him, like maybe more mad than I've been at him in a long time, because he wouldn't stop doing it, and it was just
I'm gonna rip
dance you've ever seen.
I'm gonna rip video of it. And
he was like feeling.
Oh wait, we're at December 8th. I fucked up because I don't have Jam Band Guys loaded up yet. So that's great. So we got Wine Guys with Riley, and then I believe then Menswear Guys with Jesse Thorne.
Oh yeah, that episode is great. I humiliated myself on that one by asking Jesse Thorne if he was into menswear, and it turns out he's like one of the biggest menswear guys.
He's like a real like top guy.
His
guys with Tom.
Yeah.
Well, menswear than Jam Bands.
Yeah, the Jam Bands one, I'm telling you, it's really tough. The Grateful Dead stuff we listened to, it's fucking maddening.
Yes, it is very maddening. And then Hip Christian Guys with Tom. And then for announcing the next run here, which we love to do, starting December 12th, I believe, day before my wife's birthday, MCU Guys.
Oh, I'm really looking forward to that one.
The 19th, we're going to have to move stuff around because I fucked up the day, because you're fixing the Jam Band Guys episode. So it's not on Libsyn, so I forgot about it. So, and then we're going to do Christmas Guys, which I think are the most psycho guys out there.
Oh, wait, are we going to do Christmas Guys on Christmas?
On the 19th.
Okay, close enough.
Yeah, because Christmas, I think, is the 26th. Then we got College Athletics Guys. So college sports fans.
Classic. The ones who will only watch college sports, right? They don't watch the pros.
Yeah. Weed Guys. So I think we take some strays on that one.
We might take a couple strays, but I've always said I may use weed products, but I've never been somebody who's been into the culture of it. So I think I'll be okay, and I'll be able to make fun of that. I think I do a lot of making fun of those kinds of people already.
Cable News Guys, the viewers of cable news. So people that are obsessed with cable news.
Oh, that one's going to be really upsetting.
Yeah, and then Magicians.
Oh, I've been watching the TV show Love.
That's a good show. Yeah.
Great show. And I've just started watching it, season one. And there's an episode, some people already know what I'm going to say, but where they go to the Magic Castle. And Paul Rust is like really into magic. And it is the corniest shit ever. And I really can't. Is that going to be magicians or people who are into magicians?
Magicians. We might even, one of our patrons, his wife or girlfriend is a magician that has been on TV as a magician. And she might be our guest for that.
Do you know, I know a magician who like fooled Penn and Teller, and has like, he's a pretty big magician. He's been on my channel as well. He's like a local guy. We should talk to him as well.
Yeah, let's do that. We'll have a couple people. And then we're going to do Patron's Choice, which we haven't figured out yet. It's Pickleball Guys.
I heard it was Pickleball Guys. Okay.
Jeep Guys, Coffee Guys, and IT Guys. And that's the guys that work on IT. I think I also have to say that when I come up with these names, I don't necessarily know how I'm going to do them. So people are like, what's the clarification for that? I won't figure that out until I'm prepping the episode, you know?
And people were really excited about Jeep guys. I'll probably get voted for it. I mean, I don't want to influence it, but
yeah,
I also think we probably should do that one, judging from just some of the stuff I saw in replies, you know?
Yep. All right. Well, we'll see you guys next week with Gutshot and Wine Guys. Good fucking bye. I'm in Alaska.